We have Julio Marino here. He's going to talk about optimizing sandbox creation with Foos file system. Is that right? All
right. Yeah, that's about right.
All right, give him a warm welcome. Thank you.
Is the timer working? Okay, great. Hello, everyone. As I've been introduced, I'm Julio Marino. I work for Google. I'm in the Bazel team. It's my first time at FOSDEM, so I'm giving a talk now about Bazel. So today, I want to talk to you about Bazel, and specifically about sandboxing and how we've been trying to optimize it to be a bit faster by using a Foos file system. We have 15 minutes, as you know. I'll fill them up with my talk. If you have questions, we have to wait until later. But you can find me. I'll let you know how. Okay, so before we get into sandboxing, I want to recap a little bit what Bazel is. If you've been here either last year or the year before, our team had a booth, and I know it was very popular, but this year we don't have one. So if you don't know what Bazel is, just go to the website at the bottom, bazel.build, or basically I want to tell you, Bazel is Google's build system, and Bazel itself is the external version of it, the open source version, which essentially lets you build and test any kind of project that you have, right? And it's specialized in integrating trees, source trees that have many different languages, and the goal is to build anything very quickly and reliably. And by reliably, I mean you want your builds to be deterministic. So if you build the same thing twice in a row, they should give you the same results. And that's actually where sandboxing comes into play, right? But before we get into sandboxing, we have to go in, I have to tell you a little bit how Bazel actually models things. So the basic concept we have to understand for this talk are Bazel actions, right? Bazel action is essentially a command invocation. Like if you're familiar with any other build tool, like for example make, any command that make runs essentially becomes an action in Bazel. And Bazel represents this in memory with a data structure called action, of course. And the action contains a command line. In this case, we have an example for a CC compile that takes a source file and generates an object file. And as part of the action, we register in memory what the inputs of that action are and what the outputs that we expect from it will be. Now, you will notice that the inputs here contain like the compiler itself. I've simplified it by just listing the binary, but of course that includes any libraries that we may depend on, et cetera. But the important thing is to see that we have the source file, parser.c, as well as any includes that the source file might have inside, right? A C file, we have, in this case, the parser.c file has include parser.h. So that becomes part of the inputs of the action. And then when we run this command, we expect that the compiler will generate just one single .o file in the same directory where we run the command. Now, this is great. It works. But now the problem is, look at that dash capital I dot, right? The C compiler, when we, that was our memory structure, but when we put the file system into play, the file system has more things. And in this case, in the same directory we had the parser file, the header, we have another header called lexer.h, right? There is nothing preventing the compiler from reading that file, right? If your parser.c source file contains an inclusion of this other header file, directly or indirectly, and you haven't told Bazel about this, right? It's not part of the memory data structure, then things will not work eventually, because if that header that you didn't know about changes, then Bazel doesn't know that it has to rebuild this action, and then your build will not be correct in the end. So we want to prevent these kind of things. And the way we do this is with sandboxing. Now, with sandboxing, we have two things that we have to take into account. And the first thing is actually isolating the process. So when we run the compiler, it can only do the things that we think it should do, right? So here we have our process. Now it's a more clever version of CC, and we put it inside a sandbox. Now this sandbox will prevent things like, you know, it happens that this compiler wants to check the hostname of the machine, or for some reason it wants to access the internet, or it wants to access a file that we didn't declare in our inputs, right? So the sandbox will block all those accesses or mock their result and make sure that the process behaves only in the way that we thought it should. On Linux, we implement this today with user namespaces. And on macOS, we use this deprecated tool called sandbox.exec. And you have there a couple of links at the bottom that explain a bit all of this in more detail. Now, okay, that's how we actually prevent the process from doing things, but I'm not going to touch any more of this in this talk. What we want to look into is how we actually prepare the file system for this to work, right? Because we have to run this command somewhere. And the way we do this is we create kind of a truth environment for the command. So essentially, we have the same data structure as before. But now, when we want to run this command, right, the CC binary, instead of running it in the source tree, we create a separate sandbox directory that contains only the things that we want the compiler to have access to and see. And then we create the sandbox before we run the action. We run whatever it is inside there. We don't use truth, but essentially it's the same idea, right? We just execute the command in that directory. And then we extract the outputs that we generated in that directory and put them back where they belong. In this example, you can see that they go into the workspace. That's not exactly true. They go in a different location, but you get the idea. Now, the problem is that the sandbox directory today is created with symlinks. Right? All of these things in between are symlinks that point back to the workspace or wherever the outputs are. So when I put there like read-only question mark, it's like we would like those files to be read-only, but with symlinks we cannot do that. Anyway, the main problem here that we have and the performance issue that I want to talk to you about is that there are, in big builds, actions tend to have thousands of inputs, right? So then this process of creating the sandbox for every action becomes extremely costly. We have to do one sibling system call for every input, and when you have, you know, any kind of perturbance in the timing for the action is in the critical path, so any increase in performance there will result in a big impact on the whole build time. So we want to minimize that. So the idea here is we will use our fuse file system to actually replace all those system calls with just one kind of RPC, right? We introduce a process in between Bazel and the file system that's called sandbox.fs, and this process receives calls from Bazel that tell it what to do. So in this case, we want to run the same action as before, right, with different files, I don't know why, but we have an RPC called create sandbox that says, please create a sandbox for action one, and I want to put these files in, and I actually want the root directory of this action to point to a specific location where that will be writable, and the source files have to be put inside in read-only mode. These are not symlinks. These are just actual real files that will be put in the directory. So then sandbox.fs comes in, does some in-memory operations only based on this data, and exposes you those files in the file system. So we can then, with that, go into there and run the command. If you're familiar with Linux or Unix or whatever, you know, you may find this very similar to mount.bind on Linux or null file systems on BSD. And that's essentially the same thing, right? We have implemented this. They let you do this. They let you do a bind mount for multiple things into the same location, not with just one source. The other main thing that this does, which is different than bind mounts, is that we can have a second action coming in, and we'll have to do the same process. But look there, we didn't have to remount the file system to apply those changes, right? We just send another RPC to this daemon that's running, and it just added more files into the sandbox with different permissions, different paths, whatever, and we didn't have to remount it. So the performance there can be better. So it can be, it's not yet, but we'll see into that now. So how does this behave? Well, so I ran some measurements a year and a half ago on macOS, and this is mostly about macOS because that's where we have the most performance problems. On Linux, this is pretty good. And we got these numbers.